Every day, we rise, challenging ourselves to work for what we believe in. At U.S. Border Patrol, protecting our borders is more than a job. It's a calling. Agents answer the call, working together to keep our country and communities safe. If you are ready for a new mission, join U.S. Border Patrol and go beyond. Learn more at cbp.gov/careers.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
What Happens in the Woods is a true crime podcast. We discuss events that are often violent in nature. Listener's discretion is advised.
Well, hello and welcome back. We're here with a new episode. We're almost nearing the end of our sixth season. It's a wild ride this season.
Hi.
Hi, Bryce. Hi.
I'm preempting you.
Okay.
Hi. Hi.
Hi.
Hello. Sorry. Go ahead and finish.
No, you don't want me to finish. All right. Got a little sugar in your system, I see.
We're nearing the end of our sixth season.
Yes, almost.
Almost.
There's, after this, three episodes.
Okay.
Okay.
If you say so. You're the boss.
I'm not sure anymore. I don't know.
This is not a WTF. You're the boss.
Okay. Okay. You may hear some other laughing in the background. So we have Mara joining us for this episode.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, Mara.
Hi.
You couldn't get enough. You had to come join us for this.
Yes.
Yeah. She has to make her presence known.
I have to pop in and out every once in a while just to stay relevant, you know?
Yeah.
Just add my laughter. That's what I feel like I contribute the most, is just laughing in the background.
Oh,
comic relief
for your dad, so he feels like he's being heard.
No, I just feel like when I'm in an episode or something,
yeah,
most of it is just laughing or something in the background. I don't know.
I mean, laughter is good, unless we're talking about somebody dying.
Yeah, that's not good.
That's not good. It's no good. All right, Bryce, you have any updates, announcements?
Yeah.
Okay. Do tell.
England is in the lead.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Hello. From across the pond.
Well, hello. My ancestors, my people.
And then, just interesting, you know, in the United States, who's number two?
Florida.
Texas.
Oh,
Texas.
Really?
Yeah, Washington, Texas, Oregon, California. Hello, Utah. Hello, Maryland. And Virginia. And Illinois.
And wow.
Oh, wow. Florida. Hello.
Are we going to need to get a map?
We have one.
We do?
Mm-hmm.
Where is said map?
Right here.
For the people who can't see.
Oh. I don't know. Maybe we could do that. Let us know.
Yeah.
Do you want a heat map?
Maybe we should. There's still much of the U.S. that has been untapped.
I thought you were saying like a map on the wall or like on the fridge.
I mean, I kind of was.
Like
but
the states I visited except for...
Right.
Oh.
I guess we could have a... W-H-I-T-W hot map.
I just, but your dad, I'll like, he thinks in terms of electronics. I think of terms in something tangible that I can like touch and look at. And
so we need to acquire a 65-inch TV that goes on the wall here that I could display like real time.
Yeah.
Of what?
Uh-huh. I thought you were making that happen. I've already green-lighted that.
Oh. I'm just waiting for the accounting department to write me the check.
That wasn't discussed.
Oh, see?
Oh, darn.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe Santa will be nice to us.
Maybe.
You never know.
You never know.
I've been good this year. I don't know about you.
I've been reasonably good.
Within reason.
Within normal reason. Normal
There's
limits.
Flexibility in that definition.
No. Okay. Okay. Well, we'll see.
And then I just have to reiterate some things. I don't know if you've heard our very first episode, and Jess adamantly put out there that, and this is for the one person on YouTube, but like if you don't like us, the way we talk and what we talk about, this is probably not the podcast for you. So fuck off.
Oh,
he said that.
I'm just saying.
I mean, that's kind of true, though.
What did somebody say on YouTube?
No, they're always like, stop talking and just get to the case. I'm like, fuck off. People want to hear us. We talk amongst ourselves. You know, we try to make it personal. And we tell everyone about our lives and things
like
that are going
that.
On. So I'm just a little heated right now.
Yeah, we had a DoorDash incident.
Fuck DoorDash.
Okay.
Oh my
God. I mean, fuck it mood.
Here's the thing. This is not a singular person podcast. No. If you only want to hear somebody, you know, get right into a story and just, you know, never have any
personality.
I'm not saying no, because some of them do have personality, but
yeah.
Not have any personal reflection or any, you know, you're not looking for a podcast that has multiple people in it, because to do it that way, you're not pinging off of somebody else. Yeah. You're not bouncing ideas and thoughts off of somebody else. You are solely giving the story, giving the facts, and maybe giving some of your opinion in that. If you are in a group podcast setting, ideas and thoughts and you know, your perspective on things, that's going to be shared. So if you don't like that, then I don't know why you're here. I appreciate if you want to listen because you're interested in the story, then kindly fast forward.
Yeah.
Go to where we, you know, stop talking about it. Every bit of media and device and everything, you can fast forward through.
Yeah.
And that is okay. My feelings are not hurt.
No.
I don't care. If you're only here for the story, then just fast forward till you hear the story. End of story. That's like it. Just do it.
Well,
or go away.
Yeah. Well, I also feel like the whole basis of how the podcast was like formed from the beginning was that you find a story and then you tell dad and get dad's reaction. Like, dad doesn't know the stories beforehand.
Right.
That's the whole kind of what it was from the beginning.
Right.
Like, I don't know the story right now that you're about to say. So it's kind of based on reaction and playing off each other, like you said.
Right.
Which I think brings a different
like it,
vibe.
It does bring a different vibe, and there is a reason why we are doing it that way.
Exactly.
You know, because otherwise I could just sit here and relay the information. So I can appreciate that most people don't like the banter, or some people don't like the banter, and I don't care. That's fine. Yeah. But until you start your own podcast or your own YouTube videos or whatever you want to do, and you go through your creative process, then it's really, you have choices, I guess is what I'm saying. You have choices in what you want to listen to. If we don't do it for you, then kindly just go on by. You're not hurting my feelings. Like, I'm not here to make friends, I guess. I don't know.
I'm here to put out a podcast.
Right. I mean, if you want to hear about the story, just fast forward to the story. That's all you got to do.
Sorry. I was in a Joker mood.
No, I
watch everything burn.
Okay. Oh my gosh.
I'm just kidding.
I mean.
But to everybody else, welcome to the campfire.
Yes. Welcome. No, everybody's welcome. Yeah. Everybody is
and
welcome.
And everyone's very supportive, and I love that about this community. And welcome to the campfire.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not telling anybody not to come. Everybody's welcome. And we say that all the time. I am just saying, if we are not for you, you don't need to make comments about you don't want to hear us talk. Then you can leave. That's
then why are you still
you're free
listening?
To come. You're free to leave, you know? That's life. I think that social media makes people very brave to say things, and everybody wants to add their two cents. And yes, we live in a world where, you know, we live in a country where freedom of speech is often taken for granted. And this is a way that you can use your free speech. It also is not productive. I don't know what the point is to come on the YouTube and be like, shut the hell up and get to the story. Shut the hell up and fast forward. Same goes for you. So moving on. I'm not going to turn the podcast into a bitch fest.
I'm off my soapbox now.
Okay. Well, do you have any other updates?
Fuck DoorDash. Oh, no. All right. No other updates.
Okay. All right. Well, I do have a couple of announcements. So Patreon, which is the new home for the WTF series that's up and going. After many issues, we were on vacation and we're trying to resolve things from Alaska. And I just had no idea that Patreon was going to be an issue. I don't know. They make it seem so easy. So there is a link that I shared on social media that will take you directly to our page. And we'll get the website updated, the link tree updated as well. For some reason, though, we are in like super secret spy stealth mode on Patreon, and you cannot find us if you try to search for us. And I have yet to have Patreon explain to me how to fix it or why that happened. So it's a little frustrating. But if you follow the link, you should be good. So right now it's $3 a month for WTF releases, which are, there's two of them per month that we're going to be putting out. And there might be some extras in the future. I don't know. But I wanted to say a huge thank you to Christy and Dana, who are the first two patrons to sign up. So thank you so much, ladies. Definitely know your tribe. Like I feel like we are supported and we know our people. So I am always appreciative, and I'm humbled when people reach out and they are like, you know, they are genuinely engaged in what we're doing. So it is time for Halloween, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, if you know, you know. We always do our Halloween collab with Crimes and Closets, our podcast besties. This is the fourth year that we are going to be doing this, these special episodes. And we've switched up a little bit. We've changed a couple things. We have a theme this year that I think is going to be, I thought it was a pretty cool idea. Beth came up with it and we all immediately were like, yep, that's it. Done deal. Let's move on. So we are going to drop the first episode on Friday, October 27th, with Christy joining me on our feed. And then Bryce and Beth, the Killer Bees, are going to be on Crimes and Closets feed on Monday, October 30th. So make sure that you are following Christy and Beth and Crimes and Closets. If you aren't already, you're not going to want to miss either of those episodes, sir. Pretty awesome. We just recorded them this last weekend and had a lot of fun, as usual. And that's all I got. Mara, you have any updates?
I do.
Since we're sharing? Oh.
I have an update.
Okay.
Just so you guys know, I don't know if you said this yet, but it is your birth month.
Oh, stop it.
Go say happy birthday to mom on the 28th.
No.
October 28th.
Your dad is always so agitated when I talk about my birth month.
Birth month is banned.
It kind of is. And then he's like, what do you want? What do you want?
But you haven't said anything that you want.
Yeah. Because you know what? I'm too old at this point. I don't
but
want
your mom.
Anything. Okay.
Your mom.
Yeah.
You are the mother.
I am the mother. I don't know what I need or want. I don't know. Okay. All right. Are we ready to get into this case?
Yeah.
Yes.
Mara, you done updating us?
Yes.
Okay. It is my birth month, though, so.
I never have updates.
Hate. Well, that was a good one. Thank you.
You're so welcome.
All right. So this case that we're going to talk about today is twisty, a little twisty-turny, a little, I don't know. There's going to be a lot to discuss, I think.
Oh.
I have a disappearance to discuss for today's episode. And this took place just down the road from us in Tacoma, Washington. And just a little spoiler, this remains unsolved. And it's very frustrating because I think it could easily be solved. But we are so far removed now that I don't think we're ever going to get an answer. On the morning of July 20th, 1995, a 911 call came in to dispatch from a Target payphone at 9:52 a.m. Yes, a payphone.
What's a payphone? You got to explain it for our younger patrons.
I think everybody knows what a payphone is.
And how much would you have to pay for said?
In 1995, probably a quarter.
Okay.
Quarter or 35 cents? I don't remember. I know I was in high school when it went to 35 cents.
Could I use Apple Pay?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Sorry.
Okay.
No. Do go on.
You had to have change.
Okay.
So a woman claimed that her daughter was missing. She seemed a little confused, and the 911 operator had a hard time getting direct information from the caller. The woman was then 45-year-old Berline Williams. The little girl who was reported missing was 3-year-old Lenoria Jones.
Were they related?
Yes.
Okay.
So Lenoria was actually Berline's great niece, not daughter, but she had legal custody of her at the time.
Oh, okay. I was wondering.
Yeah.
Great niece. That's like a weird.
Great niece. Yeah. So Berline's brother was the grandfather.
Okay.
So Berline was in the process of adopting Lenoria, and it actually was just like pending the documents being sent out. Mm-hmm. So by all rights, it had kind of been formalized. So the grandparents had also been trying to get custody. They resided in Spokane, where I believe Lenoria was born. But custody did end up being granted to Berline. Lenoria's mom had given up parental rights after birth, and her father was never named. Never came forward either during the request for custody. Mm-hmm. They have to post that in newspapers. They used to. I don't know if they do now, because there's really no newspapers. They used to have to post for a certain amount of days consecutively to have people come forward if they contested things.
Yeah.
So the gentleman never came forward. Lenoria was born on January 3rd, 1992 to Deidre Jones. Her mom was not in a good position in her life to care for the baby, and Lenoria was found to have cocaine in her system at birth. She, Deidre was facing drug charges and jail time prior to Lenoria's birth. So at birth, parental rights were terminated and she became a ward of the state. Deidre states that she asked her aunt Berline to take Lenoria so that she would be in a safe place. So Berline had four children of her own that ranged in age from preteen to adult. She also ran a licensed daycare out of her home in Tacoma. And Lenoria did get passed around to several family members, including her grandparents, her maternal grandparents, and I believe two aunts. But eventually, Berline was granted custody, so she did move in 1994, July of 1994, to live with Berline in Tacoma. Something that has been discussed and seems to be a little controversial is that due to the circumstances of her birth, Lenoria was diagnosed as having ADHD almost like immediately. She was put on medication at an extremely young age. And it seems to be that this was common in the 90s.
Yeah.
From what I understand. So the war on drugs, of course, was in its prime. And the term crack baby, I know we've all heard it, said it, used it. So it was frequently used to describe children born of parents who had used cocaine and that were addicted to cocaine at birth. Usually these children exhibited health issues or developmental delays. And at this time, you know, there was some data, but there wasn't a whole lot of research yet that was helpful in developing like a plan of care for these children, you know, who were born in these unfortunate circumstances. Most doctors did like the least involved thing and they prescribed medication to assist with any behavioral or learning issues at the time. There just wasn't really, I don't think there was an understanding of how... Medication in itself is not bad, but and that seemed to be the answer in the 90s was, oh, we have all these new medications. Let's just
shove them down people's throats.
Yeah, throw one at you and hope it helps.
That's just really sad because a small child on whatever type of medication this would have been while they're still developing.
Right.
That could probably be more harmful than helpful, I would think, but...
Well, and there's no way of knowing, was this even needed?
Yeah, how do you...
From what I read, ADHD is typically not diagnosed until around the age of 7.
Well, and it depends on girls too, because girls exhibit differently.
Right.
But also, how do you just like prescribe like a 2-year-old medication for ADHD? I don't know.
Right. And that's not to say that that wouldn't have been her diagnosis. I have no idea. I mean, it's not like I've looked at medical records and I'm a trained professional, but there has been a lot of discussion about how young she was to be on this type of medication and that kind of presents its own issues. Mm-hmm. And I'll kind of get into that in a little bit later. So Lenoria had been with her great aunt for about a year at this point. She was healthy and happy from all accounts. Deidre had moved to Arkansas where there was other family members that lived. And she kind of skipped out on, she served her jail time, but she kind of skipped out on the parole, I guess, and moved out of state. So she was living in Spokane at the time and moved down to Arkansas. She would, though, keep in contact with Lenoria by phone. And you know, the family members that had Lenoria until she went to live with Berline, and then she continued being in contact by phone. She had actually attempted to call her daughter 2 days prior to Lenoria being reported as missing. At that time, though, she was told by Berline that she could not speak with Lenoria that day. There is not a mention of why or a reason given why. As I mentioned, Berline called 911 that morning in July to report Lenoria was lost. I could not find any audio of the call, even though it is said that it was released a year after her disappearance. There is a small snip that I heard that was in a news report that is mostly voiced over. So I was able to find a transcript of the beginning of the call. So what I could find, so the 911 operator answers, of course, and says 911, police, fire, or medical aid. It states that Berline responded, yes, I'm calling to see. How long is it? I mean, I just missed my daughter. She's 3 years old, and I'm here in the grocery store. I was walking around trying to find her, but I haven't seen her yet. So she seems maybe a little bit confused.
Yeah.
The operator says, okay, you lost your daughter. She responds, yes. They ask, what grocery store, madam? Ma'am. Berline says, huh? I've been at Target. The operator says, so you're at Target and not Top Foods. Now, I don't know how they know where they're at. I'm thinking the payphone had a location and it was maybe not inside Target. It was outside of Target. There was a grocery store right next to Target that was called Top Foods. So she said grocery store when she called and she said, I'm here at the grocery store. So Berline answers, no, I'm not at Top Foods. I'm at Target right now. And the operator says, okay, well, you said grocery store. That's why I want to verify. How long ago did you last see her? Berline answers, I think just a few minutes. The operator asks, well, how long, ma'am? Berline says, about 10 or 15 minutes. The operator answers, okay, inside Target? Berline says, yes. So after that, of course, police respond. The officers come and it's not long, you know, after the call, they come in, they find Berline. They are attempting to get the information from her regarding, you know, when was the last time you saw her? Where were you at in the store? Did you, you know, were there any issues? And they are asking her, you know, can you retrace your steps? So Berline states that Lenoria must have wandered off while the two were looking at swimsuits. Police say, okay. Then they decide that they are going to request the video footage from inside of the Target shopping area. And Target gives them all of that. They don't have time to review it at that time. But as they are questioning Berline even more, she then starts to change her story.
Uh-oh.
So she tells them that she had gone to a car wash. Then they did go to the grocery store. Then they came into Target. She says that while out in the car, she got Lenoria out of the car. They're walking into the store. And Lenoria says, can we look at toys? Berline told her, we need to look at swimsuits first, but then we can look at getting you a toy. She says that she had Lenoria walking behind her into the store. She heard Lenoria say, okay. And then she proceeded to go to the swimsuit aisle and look at swimsuits. She turned around, realized Lenoria was not with her. So at this point, police take that information. They get the surveillance videos and people are still looking. There are the store employees that are looking. There are police that are looking. They're looking in Target. They're looking in the grocery store next door. They start to go and look at the other places that she went this morning. And there's no sign of this little girl anywhere that anybody can find. So it was the next day when investigators reviewing the tapes realized that there's an issue with the story. Lenoria never entered Target.
Really?
Really. She is not seen. And they have clear footage of Berline walking in the store, going to get a cart to shop, and walking out of, you know, that area of footage into the next area of footage where, I mean, Target is well known for their surveillance, even in the 90s. Well known for their surveillance in their, like, their parking lots, even. They've always had surveillance.
Yeah.
So there's no Lenoria on any of this footage. Nowhere in the store. So they bring in Berline to question her about really what's going on. And they had her there for 10 hours. During this 10 hours, she gave many conflicting statements. when they presented the evidence to her that the surveillance footage did not show Lenoria entering the store, she simply answers, well, maybe she wasn't with me.
Maybe.
Yes. So she also states that after stopping at this convenience store and getting gas and going through a car wash, they went into the Top Foods grocery store. Maybe at some point they got, she lost her there. Then she also says that that's actually not what happened at all. Mm-hmm. That she was abducted in the alley behind her home that morning by two armed black men.
What?
And she doesn't know where Lenoria is. Investigators start talking to other family members. So the four family members that live in the home with Berline and Lenoria. And it is said by one of her daughters, both of which, so she has three daughters. They're all late teens and almost adult age. Mm-hmm. Two of them. So one says that she saw Lenoria that morning at 6 a.m. And then there was another one that confirmed that Berline had left home with Lenoria at about 8 a.m. She also then states that that morning at about 8:47, which is a very precise time to give to somebody.
Yes.
When questioned. So 8:47 that morning, Berline had called and talked to this daughter and told the daughter that Lenoria was missing at that time. That is a full hour before she called 911. So there's a lot of speculation that maybe the time was confused. Maybe she had called the daughter at 9:47 and that was right before she called 911. Maybe the daughter's confused. Maybe Berline's confused.
I'm confused.
Exactly. Yeah. So while Berline is being questioned and there's a lot of misdirected information given going back and forth, there was approximately 100 people that participated in a search and rescue effort, canvassing the area, retracing any of the area where Berline and Lenoria were known to have gone. There was just no evidence of where Lenoria was or how she would have gotten someplace. So Berline was eventually released. She was called again the next day for some more questioning. This time, though, she had lawyered up. So her lawyer stated that she would not be coming in and discussing anything. They had asked that she take a polygraph test. She said no. So they are left with conflicting statements. Nothing is lining up. Nothing is making sense. And the police actually state that the police believe that she is withholding information. There is a quote from investigator that, quote, she gets to a point she wants to tell us and then she stops. We need something else to go on. We need to find someone who saw her leave the house. We're waiting for her to come up with the truth, end quote. So the last time that Lenoria could actually physically be put anywhere was 4 days prior at church.
Every day, we rise, challenging ourselves to work for what we believe in. At U.S. Border Patrol, protecting our borders is more than a job. It's a calling. Agents answer the call, working together to keep our country and communities safe. If you are ready for a new mission, join U.S. Border Patrol and go beyond. Learn more at cbp.gov/careers.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
That's a big gap.
It is. Although you do think for a 3-year-old, they're not necessarily going to school. She ran a daycare. So she wouldn't necessarily leave the house seen anywhere. And then you do have the report from Deidre, her mom, saying that she called 2 days prior on the 18th and was told, no, you can't talk to her.
Are they saying like the last time anyone outside of the family saw her?
Was at church. Yeah. Okay. A few days prior. So, but the one daughter had said she saw Lenoria that morning at like 6 or 6:30 when she woke up.
Yeah.
And that the other daughter saw her leave with Berlin around 8 a.m. So they do go and talk to the gas station attendant, and the gas station attendant recalls that there was nobody else in the van with Berlin. I do not know how good of a view of the van that this person had. It is not stated. Were they on video? Did she come in from getting gas or going through a car wash? Did she have to interact with somebody? There's not really, I don't believe that there was enough information released on that. And that probably is for good reason. But it is released that that person who was working at that time states that she did not have anybody else in the van with her when she was there.
This is so strange. Yeah. I was thinking like maybe that Berlin is not of sound mind, but it kind of sounds like she is.
So that is kind of, yeah, that's one of the theories that I'll kind of get into. So police are left with more questions than they have answers. Due to all the conflicting information and the lack of substantial information the investigators are getting from Berlin, her license was suspended for the daycare. She, up until this time, had not had any major violations, no previous criminal history. In all of the inspections, there was just some regular, discrepancies, things that you would find in a normal, reports of going to the daycare. So I read that there was, a report of like lack of emergency procedures for evacuations if they were needed, that type of thing, which are correctable, and they're not going to lead to the daycare being shut down. So she did not have a previous history of any issues with the daycare. She had no criminal history, but they were attempting to put her in a place, I think, where she felt intimidated and that she would have to answer for mm-hmm. things. And it led to her being also put on house arrest.
Oh my gosh.
The most that they got out of Berlin was that after, I think maybe in her mind, once she realized or she could not give a good enough answer as to how or when Lenoria disappeared, mm-hmm. her story then was the two men that attacked her in the alley and took Lenoria. And from there, she said that she knew where Lenoria was and that she was safe, but she could not give any details.
What?
Yeah.
Then why would you call 911?
Well, I don't know how you go to the gas station and then the grocery store and then Target after you've been attacked in your alley of your home and your child essentially taken from you.
You're just chilling. Got to make a Target run.
Right. I mean, Target's pretty awesome, but I that's not going to be my concern.
I mean, you could be in shock, but I don't think that's the situation here at all.
It's confusing. So investigators had a really hard time. So out of safety concerns, they did have the daycare shut down. She was placed on house arrest. And police went through the weekend. They contacted the family in Spokane. So Lenoria's grandparents, any other family members that were living in that area, they were all asked to verify their whereabouts and provide any information if they had any regarding Lenoria and the last time they had seen her, as well as if they had any understanding of what Berlin might be trying to do. I mean, essentially, they were asking Do you think that Berlin would harm her? Do you think that Berlin would, you know, be covering up for somebody? Is there anything that we should know? And nobody had any answers. They had not seen Lenoria. They had not heard from Berlin. There were no issues as far as they knew. They also contacted her mom, Deidre, in Arkansas, and the family that was living down there. They were all cleared. They did not believe that those family members had any connection to what was happening in Tacoma and that they did not have Lenoria. So it was very frustrating. There were no answers, and the people who could give answers were not talking. So Sunday evening, July 23rd, the family spoke publicly for the first time. Berlin did not speak. However, one of her daughters did speak, and they gave a press conference. It was televised. They said nothing, essentially. They claimed publicly at this time that Lenoria had been abducted. They also said that they continued to ask the questions of where Lenoria was, and they had no answers either.
The story is changing too many times for me.
It really is changing a lot of times. They stated that Berlin was overwhelmed and that her time of, you know, the 10 hours of questioning that the investigators had with her left her extremely nervous. They did claim that as a Black woman, it was extremely, you know, hard for her to be under fire from police questioning. And I can understand that. Where they lived in Tacoma was the Hilltop area where the Crips and the Army Rangers had their gunfight.
I don't remember you telling me that story.
That's because you told me that story.
Yeah, okay.
She actually lived not far from where that was.
Oh, okay.
So the community at that time was, it was a very strained relationship with the police, with law enforcement.
Yeah.
And I can see, even to this day, I can see where a person of color involving police in any way, in anything, it would be the last thing they want to do.
Yeah.
In a lot of areas. I also can reasonably understand why she might have delayed calling if that's the case. And I can understand that she might, after having spent 10 hours being interrogated, essentially, who knows how that went? I don't know. There's no statements. I couldn't find any recordings of it. I couldn't find any audio. I couldn't find any video of that interrogation. I can understand their claim of her being frustrated or flustered and nervous and anxious about the whole proceedings of that. I can't understand that.
Yeah.
However, that still doesn't change the fact that she did have a lawyer that could have been present with her.
Mm-hmm.
Because the lawyer is the one that called and said that she would not be doing the polygraph. That also does not explain away how many stories she gave and where Lenoria is.
Yeah.
It just doesn't. So that's basically their press conference. They claim that they are just as confused and frustrated and upset as everybody else. And they took no questions. They did not publicly speak again.
Hmm.
On July 24th, Berlin was interviewed another time. So this would be the third time by Tacoma police. And at this point, they've had many different versions of the story, and they are basically being told the same thing. There is not a new thing that she gives to them. She is sticking to the story of the two men that, you know, got into the alley behind her home and abducted Lenoria. And Berlin then on Tuesday the 25th publicly says, "I did not have anything to do with Lenoria's disappearance. I stand like any other mother missing my child." She reiterated that she had made, you know, she knew that she had made very confusing statements to the police, but that she was nervous in dealing with the police. She claims that that is what led her to so many conflicting stories. And then she said that the police are focusing on her instead of spending time focusing on Lenoria.
But you're making it so hard too. Like, you're getting in your own way in this situation. Like, I completely understand being nervous and all that, but changing your story so many times and just getting in the way of them doing their job.
Right.
Bottom line, like, hello?
Right. Right. Unfortunately, this is really where it stands. So there have been many, many different ways that investigators have gone about looking at this, and there's no answers. So Lenoria is missing, presumed dead. Deidre has no answers. She's been looking for answers for the last decades, however many decades. It's 20, almost what, 30 years, 40 years?
Yeah. Yeah, she would be like 30 something years old.
Yeah. So there are no answers to this. And it's very frustrating for, I think, investigators, because they do believe that if the one person, Berline, could have been forthcoming at the very beginning, they could have searched in the right places.
Yeah.
If something did happen to her, they could have found that out with the right information. So at one point, there was a tip that had been called in anonymously, and the person that called in did have relevant information that was not released to the public. So unfortunately, though, they only got a recorded message from what I can what I can gather and everything. Nobody actually spoke to this person, and they did not leave a phone number or any way to contact them. So authorities are still putting this out there. I've seen even recent news reports and articles from earlier this year where Deidre has reached out and is asking for assistance from the community, anybody who might know. But investigators specifically are mentioning this one person that called in that had details that were not released to the public. They would like to speak to this person again. And it is something that they think could break the case wide open. And they've been wanting to hear from this person for the last 30 years, 40 years. Whether that person is going to be able to give them any information, I don't know, but that's what the investigators feel. So some of the theories are that, well, the first one that I think is very likely, it's very sad, but just about a week prior to the disappearance, Lenoria had been put on a medication that would help her sleep. Berline claimed that she was having problems sleeping. And this is not an uncommon thing with children who have, like, are born with a drug addiction or have ADHD. Sleeping is an issue.
Yeah.
So the pediatrician had claimed that it was experimental to put a child this young on this medication.
You don't say.
Then don't do it.
I guess we're not surprised. But he did prescribe it. It is disappointing, but he did prescribe it to her. So she had been on this medication for a week prior to her disappearance. And one of the theories is that there was an accidental overdose. Apparently, it was a quite common thing with this medication that overdose could happen very easily. So it is assumed in this theory that she overdosed on this medication, which is called Norpramin. It's actually an antidepressant. And the likelihood is that she could have easily been given too much or gotten into the pill bottle herself and overdosed accidentally. And this made Berline panic. She was maybe concerned about what this would mean for her family, for her daycare. That was her livelihood. She was a single mother.
Yeah.
And while it was an accident, you know, Lenoria was disposed of. essentially.
That's a theory.
That's a theory.
Okay.
Yeah, that is, there's no way of knowing. There, Lenoria has never been found.
Yeah.
And the family is not talking. So even from what I saw, so she was given the smallest dose, which was 10 milligrams. 150 milligrams, so 15 pills, would lead to serious issues. 30 pills would likely lead to death. So if she had been given a month's supply, she easily, if somebody had overdosed her, would have been very, very sick, if not dead.
Yeah.
The other interesting, I guess, theory was kind of what you said, Mara, where she was maybe having some sort of mental crisis.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of discussion about her possibly having had a stroke or a seizure that morning. And that led to a lot of her confusion on where she was and where she last saw Lenoria.
Yeah.
Possibly Lenoria was taken when they were at the gas station. Possibly she was taken while they were at the grocery store. Possibly she was taken from the parking lot of Target before they even entered Target. Her confusion could be legitimate. There might be a medical reason why she is confused on the timeline.
Yeah.
That also has not been confirmed. I don't think that any of the investigators were thinking in that way, in that line of thought, to even suggest she have, you know, be checked out by a medical professional to rule that out.
Yeah. Because the 911 call, as you described it, seemed very just incoherent, just kind of like, I don't know, messy, right, all over the place.
A lot of people have said that it sounded, and again, I don't know where they heard it because I couldn't find it anywhere. A lot of people said that it sounded as if she was just unaffected. Like she was very, maybe 10, 15 minutes ago. But I mean, having read the transcript, it does sound like she's confused, but I don't know that she's not. I don't know what the urgency is in her tone, because yeah, I can't hear it. I think if I could hear it, then I could say one way or the other. But a lot of people have just reached that conclusion that because she was confused and she was maybe disoriented, or, you know, not as forthcoming with I'm at Target, my daughter is missing, it's been 10 minutes. You know what I mean? She,
yeah.
You can't get tone from text. You know, she could be upset and she could be stuttering because she's out of breath, because she's panicking.
To me, it comes off as like distant in the way that you're just like not all here. I don't know.
And that could be that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like she maybe wasn't. Some people have said that maybe she had like early onset Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
I didn't go on to read that she was ever diagnosed with dementia or Alzheimer's, but I know that that can happen where people get very confused about timeline.
Yeah.
When that's the case.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe she overdosed on something.
She was never,
I mean, I don't
known or reported to. I mean, I thought about that too. Was she on medication that she, yeah, she took something wrong? I don't know.
It seems very strange.
It does all seem very strange. It really does. And that's the thing, is I think that if we are presuming she was in the right frame of mind when all of this happened, then she alone has key vital information about Lenoria and where she is and where she went.
Because that was calculated.
Right.
That's kind of what I was thinking in the beginning, until like considered maybe she was not in the right frame of mind.
Right. And if she was having some sort of medical issue or mental health issue, or, you know, whatever the case may be, then that was completely overlooked.
Yeah.
By everybody. I mean, everybody. Nobody. These are all theories that are coming out now, you know, years later. Nobody looked at that at the time. It was simply, well, you're acting funny. Where is this little girl? Tell us where this little girl is.
Well, yeah, it's hard to have that train of thought when the story changes so much, like from second to second, like the story is changing.
Yeah. So there has been just no breakthrough. The theories are just that, they're theories. And all these years later, when nobody is getting any answers.
That's really crazy because she would be like 30 something.
Yeah.
You would think maybe she would have popped up, or like you hear people getting abducted and then they pop back up somehow, or I don't know.
Right.
Yeah. I just heard this TikTok the other day. Somebody got adopted and I didn't get the context because they had just posted this and it was going viral, but they got adopted and apparently like their mom had been searching for them for a really long time.
Wow.
And there was like a thread on a online, just like an online thread of like, hey, I'm looking for this person. They would have been born here, like all this information that only someone close to them would know. And they called, or they had the person call them, and they were like, we've been looking for you for like your entire life. And she had no idea that they were looking for her.
That is absolutely crazy.
And like, this started because she found a social security card in a closet with a different name on it that wasn't, it was like her name, but not her name, like her current name.
Mm-hmm.
So she brought it up to her like parents and they were like, oh, don't worry about it.
Oh yeah, that's a clear, yeah, don't worry about it, that's fine.
Yeah, but I just wonder about like a situation like that where if she was abducted, does she know she was abducted?
No.
If she's still alive?
I mean, that happens, it has happened, you know, especially a child that young.
They would never know.
You very rarely have formed memories.
I don't remember being three.
That's probably just as well. I don't remember being three. It's very easy because children know who they can trust and not trust, but that doesn't always mean that it's somebody that they know.
Yeah.
You know, children do have a sense of, I don't like you. I'm not going with you. And they would put up a fight, but that doesn't mean that somebody's not going to take them and then easily win over a child. You just resume your life not knowing that anything has happened. You would never know. You really would never know. So
I hope she's alive.
I hope she is too. I just think that hope is, I mean, the spark is lost on that hope. But her mom has come in a recent news article that is what I caught first. She states she just wants to have answers and to be able to, you know, basically put an end to this and grieve, because she does not think that her daughter is alive.
Yeah.
And investigators don't believe that she's alive either.
But then where are the remains?
That's a good question. And unfortunately, I think, you know, I think they were trying to get answers out of Berlin by pressuring her with the house arrest for 4 months and shutting down her daycare. If they really felt like they could do those things, I don't know why they didn't press charges.
True.
I'm not sure where that line of thinking didn't happen. I also was kind of wondering why Deidre, Lenoria's mom, did not do like a civil suit.
I mean, I don't think there was much proof.
Well, yeah, but her daughter, even though she didn't have parental rights, Berlin did not officially have full custody of her. And so I am wondering if maybe because the mom did not have any parental rights, she could not do a civil suit. But that seems to be, I don't know, to me that would have been the best course of action if it was something that she could have done, is to do a civil suit, because you had physical custody of this child that was in your care that went missing. And you're not being cooperative with the investigators who are trying to find her. There's an issue there.
Do we have any context of, you know, like with Casey Anthony, it was kind of like having a child didn't really fit her lifestyle. Was there any kind of situation like that where Berline may have wanted to get rid of her? Or did it seem like, by all accounts?
It didn't seem like that was the case, because she ran this daycare. That was her livelihood. She was around children all the time. She had four of her own children, never had any problems. And all family members that, you know, were interviewed and talked to about this said Berline was always the one who wanted to be around children. And I couldn't find anything in anything that I read that stated there was even a hint of it was too much for her. She took on more than she could handle. She didn't want to do it anymore. That didn't seem to be evident.
That's just really sad.
Yeah. It is very sad. And I would love nothing more than to give answers to this mom who really never met her child.
Yeah.
You know, never. She has gotten her life back on track. She, you know, was able to move beyond her circumstances and has not been able to try to have a meaningful relationship in some way with her child because her child is missing. So yeah. It is one of those things that I think would her getting her life back on track, this would have actually been harder to do, I think, knowing that your child is missing and that would probably be another reason to have an addiction to drugs.
Yeah, because I feel like that in itself, like knowing that her child was with someone else, like that's, you grieve that in itself.
Mm-hmm.
But you also look at the side like, okay, it's probably better for her while I get myself together. And then you don't even get that for her. You don't even get the opportunity to be in her life. You don't get the opportunity to reconcile.
Right.
None of it.
Yeah. And it wasn't better for her in the long run to be with this other person.
Yeah.
Who from all accounts, she thought would be the best person to take her daughter.
Exactly.
Yeah. So we'd love to know your thoughts on this case. It's definitely confusing. A lot of discussion online that you can come across. I wish that I had more information. I wish that there was more to be said, but it just seemed like nobody wants to discuss it, to solve it. There's all these theories. There's all this, you know, could be this, could be that, but the people who know are not talking. So the hope is that they will come forward and this little girl's not forgotten and her story is still being talked about, which is important. So let us know your thoughts on social media. Hit us up. Don't forget, we've got the Patreon going and our Halloween collab is coming up. We're super excited to share that with you guys. And as always, we thank you and we love the support that you guys are showing us. We appreciate it. And we just want you to remember, be nice, be kind to one another. Stay out of the damn woods, though.
Stay out of the woods.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Bye.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com.
Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.